Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 127 for the May 2018 previews. Now, starting with this previews, we've got DC in its own DC previews, Marvel in its own Marvel's previews. We still have the main previews itself, which is still, like, I don't know, 600-ish pages or so long, plus, you know, the other catalogs. It makes for a lot to go through. So, because of just how many comics come out, we've been doing these preview spotlights for well over 10 years now, and I think it's a great way for people to share their love of comics, which comics creators, titles, publishers, whatever they like, and hopefully get other people interested in those titles. Because the more people pre-order the stuff, the better it sells. It lets the retailers know that there's interest in this stuff versus them having to gamble on it and such. So hopefully it helps everybody out, the creators, the readers, the retailers, the, you know, everybody. Now, we've got an open submission policy on these episodes. I encourage you to send in clips whenever you find something in previews that you find interesting. It's really easy to do. If you've got a smartphone, there's usually an audio record app already on it. You basically click record, talk for a minute or two, or however short or long it takes for you to get your ideas out. Hit save and then just upload it, and you can send it to an email and just email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com. It's really fairly simple to do in this day and age of smartphones. There are thousands of items in previews each and every month. It's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. It's not uncommon for me to see like the second issue of something and I'm like, well, geez, I didn't catch the first. So I go to the previous one and say, oh, well, that does look interesting. Let me add it to my order. As always, we're going to be starting at the beginning of previews, which is now Image, which is surprising, but good for them. We're going to be working our way to the back. Now, when you get to previews, this month it happened to be on 128. There's two facing pages for DC, and it's got their checklist of here's all the stuff they're coming out. So what we're going to do when we hit that two-page spread is we're going to say at page 128, that's where the DC previews comes in. So we're going to cut over to the DC previews, go through it, then pick back up on page 129, which is really continuing DC, and then moving forward in the main previews again. Up until we hit page 172, where we've got the two facing pages for Marvel. In this case, it's a Infinity War Prime and Spider-Man number one house ads. And at that point, on page 172, we're going to insert the Marvel previews. And then we're going to go through that, and then we're going to come back to page 173 and continue the rest of the way through previews. It's really not that complicated. We're just putting those catalogs in kind of where they would have fit if they had just been bound into the main previews. That way we can keep things in a fairly logical, you know, easy to find order. So you can start at the beginning of previews as you're listening to this episode and just be flipping through as the clips are happening. And hopefully you'll find some stuff you're interested in. I usually do. That's why I love doing these episodes. So, like I said, we're going to be starting at the beginning of previews, working our way to the back. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights. And those highlights are determined by the clips I get, which are sent in by people like you. So you guys have control as to what gets promoted in these episodes. Take advantage of it. It's a great way to make sure the comics you love have the audience they deserve. So with that, let's get going. My first pick is on page 26, and it is the previews catalog. As you all know by now, I'm a big fan of this. I find it a great way to go find out what's coming out in comics a couple of months in advance, and to find things I may otherwise miss. Now, I still miss things, don't get me wrong, but sometimes just seeing a cover image or an ad in previews for something, it's like, wow, that art looks cool, that story sounds interesting, oh, I didn't realize this creator was doing something. Otherwise, I'd miss those, because odds are I'd never see them on the store shelves. Just because, one, I get my comics mail order. Two, even when I was shopping at a local store, you don't really scan all of the new comics every week. It's kind of hard to do, and even so, you're not going to catch all the creator names, etc. Even if you do, not all stores get all comics in. So, I mean, to me, this is like going through that old Sears toy catalog when I was a kid to find out what cool stuff is there to have. So, for $3.99, you're getting the 600-page-plus previews catalog, the Marvel previews, the DC previews. It's actually a really good deal. I know not everybody likes paying for previews, and, you know, I get it, but that's the way the industry is. Now, my retailer, Cowabunga, if you order $100, you get previews for free, and so that's a pretty good deal. And if you're ordering $100 of comics a month, you owe it to yourselves to go through the previews just to see what else is interesting out there that you might be missing. So, once again, that's previews. In this case, it's number 358, which is the July 2018 one, on page 26 of the previews catalog.
Hey guys, it's Drew from the beautiful Hocking Hills of Ohio, and my very own Comics for Fun and Profit podcast. With my first pick, it is from Image, and it is Farmhand number 1, written by Rob Guillory, with art chores by Rob Guillory and Taylor Wells. Now, Rob Guillory is from Chew, who long, nice 60-issue run on Chew, and this has been percolating in his mind for a while, so he finally gets this book out of his own creation. It is kind of weird. It's like a organ, raising organs for transplant, physical organs, and like a farmer, some kind of supernatural element to it, about a guy named Jedediah Jenkins and stuff like that. It seems a little out there, but Chew was a little out there, and it worked really well. So if that sounds interesting to you, it's a $3.99 book, comes out on July 11. It's Rob Guillory, creator-owned. It's Farmhand number 1 from Image.
Hey, this is James, J.R. Phoenix, with my first pick in the preview spotlight. And our first publisher now in the new previews, the way it's set up, is Image Comics. And I'm looking on page 43. And that comic is called Unnatural. This one's written by Mirka Andolfo, and he's also the artist. This one's anthropomorphic. Leslie's a simple pig girl. She loves sushi. She's stuck in a job she hates, and she lives under the brutal totalitarian government, one that punishes transgressors for anything deemed unnatural. This one looks like it's going to be interesting. This guy, or girl, Mirka, I don't know if that's a girl or a guy, was the writer on Wonder Woman, Harley Quinn, DC Bombshells. So she has some stuff that she's done in the past, or he has some things, honestly don't know. And I'm going to be picking up the cover B on this because I'm a big fan of Milo Manara, and there's an alternate cover B with this, which is a Manara cover, and I love him. He's an Italian artist, one of my favorite artists. So something interesting, something different, unnatural. Check it out. Thanks. On to my next pick. Hey, this is JR Phoenix again. My next pick in the preview spotlight looks like it's on page 44, and I'm looking at Aphrodite 5, and the writer on this is Brian Hill, and the artist is Jeff Spokes, and the solicit says, in the near future, Los Angeles is a city on the brink of evolution, struggling with a new wave of terror fueled by black market technology. Enter Aphrodite 5, or V, I don't know how you want to pronounce it. A fugitive from her masters seeking individuality and purpose. She is the bleeding edge of biomechanics and LA's best hope against a new enemy, one that seeks to become a god among machines. I've enjoyed some of the Aphrodite books in the past. Some of them are really good, some not so good, but Brian Hill is a very good writer. He's been one of the better writers, along with Matt Hawkins, for Top Cow. So if you want to try out Top Cow, this may be a good book to pick up, especially if you like something a little techie, a little futuristic. So it looks like it's coming out July 18th, and you may want to give it a try. On to my next pick.
Hello, Martin with Cosmic Times, and I am in the main previews book. I am on page 47. That puts me in the Image section, and I am looking at Outpost Zero. Outpost Zero seems to be a small town, a small outpost on another planet, and it follows a group of friends as they come of age, and they find out that something is lurking, something is watching them. And I am just like an interesting concept. It's an adult, a young adult teen book. I might let my kid take a look at it if it seems all right. And this could be something awesome. So I'm recommending Outpost Zero. I'm hoping it's good. Just noticed the cover price is $4.99. Ouch. But I'm still might check it out. So again, Outpost Zero, page 47 in the image section.
This is JR Phoenix back with my next pick, and I'm looking at page 57 in the image section of previews, and I'm looking at the Sugar Trade paperback. This one's written by Matt Hawkins and his wife, Jenny Chung. The artist is Yushan Lee. This is a companion book to both Sunstone and Swing. I bought all the Sunstone episodes or issues, trade paperbacks, and I pre-ordered Swing. It hasn't come out yet. But this one, Stefan Sage, I guess his name is, did the art on the previous trade, so this is a new artist. But this one is, Sugar is about a couple who embark on a relationship that starts as more of an arrangement and ends with them falling in love. But that love has consequence. Julia works three jobs and is trying to finish college in her early 20s. John is recently divorced, still stinging from that breakup and trying to start anew. Neither has ever done anything like this before, and the emotional swings that they face challenge what could be a perfect match. Sorry for messing that one up. This one retails at $9.99. I'm going to get a discount through Cowabunga Comics. It ships July 18th. I've been enjoying this, so it's definitely a more mature title, but if it's something that you're interested in, either the Sunstone or you pre-ordered Swing, you definitely want to check this one out.
Hi there, this is Alan in Japan once again, AlienAl121 on the forums with my next pick in this month's preview spotlight. This time I'm in the front of the book, the regular previews catalog. In the image section, I'm on page 78, and my pick is Paper Girls, number 22. And the story is by Brian K. Vaughan, art by Cliff Chang and Matt Wilson. It's coming out on July 4th, 32 pages for $3.99. The solicit reads, "The future has always been terrifying." Yes, that's it. A very short and sweet solicit. And if you've been enjoying the series like I have, it's kind of like, I guess Brian K. Vaughan was helping to write Lost or something. It's kind of like Lost. It just kind of continues, and then there's a cliffhanger at the end, and a lot of time jumping going on. But I'm digging it. I'm enjoying it, especially the artwork. And I love the characterizations of the four girls, KJ, Aaron, Mac, and Tiffany. And so I'm enjoying the book and getting to know the girls more as the story progresses. All right, on to the next pick.
Hey guys, it's Drew with another pick from Image, and it's Skyward, number 4, written by Joe Henderson, with art by Antonio Fabella, and a cover by Lee Garbett. This first issue was fantastic. I really liked it a lot. Thought it was just a really fun read, really good intro to the characters. So I want to remind everybody that this fourth issue is out. It's a $3.99 book, comes out July 18th. So check out Skyward. It's really fun. It's a really fun Image book. It's from Joe Henderson and Image.
Hey, this is James J.R. Phoenix back with my next pick in the previews catalog. And now I'm in the Dark Horse section on page 94. And I'm looking at Quantum Age from World of Black Hammer. That's what it says online, from World of Black Hammer, not from the World of Black Hammer. So I don't know if that's a typo. Written by Jeff Lemire, cover art, Dave Stewart, art, Wilfredo Torres. I don't know if you guys have been reading Black Hammer, but it is an excellent superhero universe that Jeff Lemire is building over at Dark Horse. This stuff is really top notch. Every book has been great. The reason why I'm picking this is because I went to the forums before I recorded this and nobody had picked it yet, and I was kind of surprised. So that may change. There may be a duplication, but I hope not. But I'm going to read you the solicit since nobody else has picked it. Set in the world of Eisner Award-winning Black Hammer series, but 1,000 years in the future, a collection of superheroes inspired by the legendary heroes of Black Hammer Farm must band together to save the planet from an authoritarian regime. A young Martian must find a way to reform the Quantum League to save the world while solving the riddle of what happened to the great heroes of the 20th century. So basically, this is going to be interesting. It's another little spinoff or another little chunk of story in the Black Hammer universe, and this is great material. So if you guys have not been reading this, you need to jump on board. This starts with a number one, so you can check it out. It comes out July 4th. On to my next pick.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and a go-by Superman fan on the forums. And my first pick in this month's previews is in the Dark Horse section on page 94 with The Quantum Age from the World of Black Hammer number 1. Writer Jeff Lemire, Wilfredo Torres, story and cover artist, Dave Stewart, colorist, and Christian Ward, variant cover artist. On sale July 4th, full color, 32 pages for $3.99, and this is the first issue of an ongoing series. Set in the world of the Eisner Award-winning Black Hammer series, but 1,000 years in the future, a collection of superheroes inspired by the legendary heroes of Black Hammer Farm must band together to save the planet from an authoritarian regime. A young Martian must find a way to reform the Quantum League to save the world while solving the riddle of what happened to the great heroes of the 20th century. Black Hammer creator Jeff Lemire, writer of The Terrifics, is joined by Wilfredo Torres from Legion in illustrating, while Dave Stewart of Hellboy adds his colorist skills to the mix. Pages 94 and 95 also provide some sample pages of the interior art that you can sample. I'm going to pick up this series because it's an obvious homage to the Legion of Superheroes of DC Comics, and after Superman, the Legion of Superheroes are my favorite group of comic book heroes. And since DC Comics has yet to bring back the Legion in their own title, they've only brought back an ancestor of the Legion hero Phantom Girl in The Terrifics, I'll take my Legion fix anywhere I can get it, especially in the Quantum Age number 1 from Dark Horse Comics. Back to you, John.
This is Todd from Phoenix, Arizona, with a pick from the Dark Horse section on page 96. She Could Fly, number 1, written by Christopher Cantwell, art by Martin Marazzo. And I've never heard of either of them, and yet it's because of one of those names that I am going to recommend this one. Let's look at the blurb here. It's a $4.99 first issue of a mini-series. I'm not sure how long this series will run. In Chicago, an unknown woman appears flying at speeds of 120 miles per hour and a heights reaching 2,000 feet. Then she suddenly dies in a fiery explosion midair. No one knows who she was, how she flew, or why. Luna, a disturbed 15-year-old girl, becomes obsessed with learning everything about her, while rumors and conspiracy theories roil. Will cracking the secrets of the flying woman's inner life lead to the liberation from her own troubled mind? Okay, so it's an interesting solicit, but it's nothing that would make me say, oh, I gotta get that, unless it was some author that I loved or an artist that I loved. But again, I don't know either of them. Looks like Martin Marazzo has worked on Nighthawk and Elektra and Ice Cream Man, and thus, that's why I don't know him. And it's from Karen Berger's Berger Park imprints. Now, she I know because she was the grand master of the Vertigo lineup years ago when it was a fantastic lineup. It's a 32-page story. I hope that means the entire story is 32, not including ads, because it is a bit pricey if it does, if it's less than 32 pages. But here's why I'm recommending it. Sorry to keep babbling, but it is written by Christopher Cantwell, co-creator and showrunner of AMC's Halt and Catch Fire. Have any of you seen Halt and Catch Fire? It ended a few months ago. It lasted 4 seasons, I believe. Fantastic series. One of the best series that was on television when it was on. The first season, you wonder about it, but the second, third, and fourth season, exquisite. Fantastic television. So why am I looking forward to She Could Fly number 1? It's written by a guy who I don't know if he's ever written comic books before, but I do know he wrote a fantastic television series. And so I'm going to at least give number one a shot. By the way, that cover, that just looks really great. I love that cover. By the way, the little one page example. Now, how could those last two panels also not intrigue you on that one page that, they do show in the solicit? Anyway, I think I've said enough about something that I know absolutely nothing about. And so I hope everybody buys it.
Hey guys, it's Heidi with Cosmic Times. So I'm in previews in the DC pullout section, and first page, I hate to fangirl, but I'm gonna do it. Batman 50 and 51. They're getting married! Yay! It's Batman and Catwoman and the Batrimony. Can't wait to read all about this. Yes, so the cover obviously is just phenomenal by, I think it's Mikhail Janin. And I'm sure the story is going to be great too. So I'm going to go ahead and recommend that. It's on page number one of the DC pullout section. Let me see. It's going to be $4.99 for 48 pages for $4.99. That's a pretty good deal. So super excited about it. And I hope you guys check it out too. Yay. Bye.
This is JR Phoenix back with another pick. This time I'm in the DC supplement and I'm looking at page two, where it looks like it's going to be Catwoman number one, writer Joelle Jones, artist Joelle Jones. And I just finished reading Lady Killers by Joelle Jones, and I liked it so much that I'm definitely picking up Catwoman because she did such a good job. I love her art, love her writing. Let me read the solicit for you. The wedding night's barely over, but Catwoman's back on the streets, this time to expose a copycat who's pulling a heist around Gotham City. As Selina cracks the whip on her former criminal cohorts, she's attracting unwanted attention from one of Gotham's most dangerous groups. The mob? Nope. Try the GCPD. And as if the Bat Bride didn't have enough problems, don't miss the debut of an all-new villain determined to make trouble for all nine of Selina's lives. So it's a start of a new series. Like I said, Joelle Jones, great writer, great artist. Just the cover art on this looks amazing. So if you're ready to get started with a new number one, where she's basically getting married, also in Batman number 50 in this month's solicits, this might be a good place to pick up. It looks like it's after the wedding. It's going to be some adventures of Catwoman on her own. So enjoy, and on to my next pick.
Hey, it's Drew with a pick from DC. It is Catwoman number one, written by Joelle Jones, art and cover by Joelle Jones. We got a taste of what Joelle can do at DC with her arcs on Batman, which were fantastic. Of course, her Lady Killer book over at Dark Horse has been amazing, two volumes. Super excited for this. The art is going to be fantastic. I'd like her writing style as well. I think this is something well worth checking out. And it's a $3.99 book. It comes out on the 4th of July. And it's Joelle Jones, Eisner-nominated Joelle Jones, doing the writing chores and the art chores. So yeah, check out Catwoman number one from DC Comics and Joelle Jones.
Hey guys, it's Heidi with Cosmic Times. So I'm in the DC pullout section and I'm on page two. Yes, I know. I just went ahead and recommended Batman and Catwoman, the wedding issues. And so again, DC page two. This is Catwoman number one. The issue I have with comics is that there's really no story continuity. And I like this because Catwoman number one takes place the day after they get married. How cool is that? I love that. And there's also going to be a new villain that they're going to be coming out with. So I'm curious to find out about that. The cover art is beautiful. It's by Joelle Jones. And I just can't wait to read the story and to find out about this new villain. So again, DC pullout, page number two. And Catwoman number one, it's $3.99. So I'm going to get it and you should too.
Billy Hogan again. My second pick comes this time in the DC Comics insert on page 4 with Superman number 1, written by Brian Michael Bendis, story and cover art by Ivan Reis and Joe Prado, variant covers by Adam Hughes and David Mack, and a blank variant cover is also available. A bold new chapter for the greatest superhero of all time begins here as the superstar team of writer Brian Michael Bendis and artist Ivan Reis begin their run on the all-new Superman. The fallout from the Man of Steel miniseries has Clark Kent looking at the world through new eyes, with new ideas about what Superman could and should do for the city of Metropolis and the planet Earth. His first job? Getting the planet back out of the Phantom Zone. On sale July 11th, $3.99 for 32 pages. So not only is this the first full issue written by new DC writer Brian Michael Bendis, but apparently DC is moving away from the twice-monthly publication for the Superman titles and going back to the traditional monthly publication schedule. Also, the cover price has gone up to $3.99 from $2.99, but I guess it was inevitable because, as we all know, costs are going up for everyone. I'm looking forward to seeing how Brian Michael Bendis handles Superman. I've been a big fan of his creator-owned series, Powers, which unfortunately has had an irregular publication schedule, and I hope with him moving to DC that Powers will resume publication under DC's banner. Because of that, I'm looking forward to reading Superman number 1, the first full issue written by Brian Michael Bendis. Back to you, John.
Hey folks, this is Martin with Cosmic Times, and I am in the DC section, well I guess now the DC mini book, the pullout book, on page number 4, and I am checking out Superman number 1 by Brian Michael Bendis. You know, I've not been a fan of what DC's done with Superman in the past, especially since the New 52 forward, but by golly, looking at this cover, Superman looks awesome. This looks like the Superman I want to read. I can just only hope that Brian Michael Bendis does the character right and delivers us a Superman comic that we all can love. So I am going to add this to my pull list. It's the first time I've had a Superman book on my list in years. I'm looking forward to it. Again, this is issue number 1. Superman issue number 1 by Brian Michael Bendis. It is $3.99, 32 pages. I'm going to get it. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be recommending this book as well. But I just want to put my 2 cents in on it. I just hope we get our good old Superman back.
Billy Hogan again. My third pick also comes in the DC Comics insert on page 5 with Action Comics number 1001, written by Brian Michael Bendis, story and cover art by Patrick Gleason, variant covers by Francis Manapul and David Mack. Acclaimed writer Brian Michael Bendis' new chapter for the Man of Steel and the World of Tomorrow begins here. The devastating repercussions from the Man of Steel miniseries still reverberate as Metropolis enters a new age. The Daily Planet teeters on the brink of disaster. A new criminal element has made its way onto the streets of Superman's hometown. The longest-running superhero comic of all time explodes off the page with art by fan favorite Patrick Gleason. On sale July 25th, $3.99 for 32 pages. I just got my latest shipment from Discount Comic Book Service and read Action Comics number 1000, which I enjoyed very much. The Brian Michael Bendis story that ended that issue left Superman in quite a cliffhanger, so I'm looking forward to reading the Man of Steel miniseries to see how Superman is going to get out of that, and how Brian Michael Bendis is going to establish his run on the Man of Steel. What I'm looking forward to the most is seeing Clark Kent having a more prominent role with the New 52 and even with Rebirth. Clark Kent really took a back seat. And not only that, the Daily Planet as well. I missed seeing Clark interact with the other staff members of the Daily Planet. I'm not just talking about Lois, Jimmy, and Perry. But in the post-Crisis on Infinite Earths Superman continuity, the Daily Planet had some other interesting employees and supporting characters, and I'm not just talking about Steve Lombard. And some of the past Superman creative teams came up with some very interesting subplots with some of these minor characters who worked at the Daily Planet with Lois, Jimmy, Clark, and Perry. My biggest concern going into reading Brian Michael Bendis' run on Superman is I hope that they don't get rid of Jonathan. I know DC killed off Batman's son Damian and then brought him back, but I hope the new creative team on Superman and Action Comics don't go that route, because my favorite part of this new Superman continuity is seeing the Man of Steel as a legacy character as he trains his son in being a superhero, and seeing Clark wearing the same shoes that Pa Kent wore when he trained Clark in how to become a superhero. But other than that, I'm really looking forward to this new era of Superman with Action Comics number 1001. Doesn't that have a nice ring to it? Back to you, John.
And we're back with another episode of the Comic Book Pages Previews Edition. My name is Chris Brawley. I go by Brawlinator on the forums and throughout the web. My first pick this month is in the DC section, and it's Justice League Dark number 1. You'll find it in the all-new DC Comics Supplemental Catalog on page 6. Justice League Dark will be written by James Tynion IV with artwork by Alvaro Martinez, Raul Fernandez, and Brad Anderson. This super team's roster includes Wonder Woman, Swamp Thing, Man-Bat, Zatanna, and Detective Chimp. The Justice League Dark series will fall under this fresh New Justice publishing banner spinning out of the Justice League No Justice event. You can also expect the cosmic-themed Justice League Odyssey along with the new Justice League relaunch to also be under this new banner. Fans of this team may remember that the original Justice League Dark was launched as part of the New 52 reboot, and that the title was originally just a placeholder for a team that featured DC Comics' mystical heroes solving mystical problems. The team then consisted of John Constantine, Madame Xanadu, Deadman, Zatanna, and Shade the Changing Man, and they handled threats that were so mystical that they fell outside of the Justice League's usual capabilities. I'd say that it's a safe bet that DC is banking on Wonder Woman's newfound popularity, along with her ties to the mystical side of the DC Universe, to help garner interest in the new Justice League Dark title. You can check it out for yourself. The solicit is over on page 6 of this month's all-new DC Comics Previews.
Hey, this is James, J.R. Phoenix, back with my next pick in the DC Supplemental. I'm on page 7, and I'm looking at Justice League Odyssey, written by Joshua Williamson. Great writer. Art, Stephen Sage. I was missing him off Aquaman, so it looks like this is where he's gone. And this one's spinning out of Justice League, No Justice. And it looks like it's going to be an all-new team that may be going into space, because they're going to the Ghost Sector. Don't know where the Ghost Sector is, but it sounds like it's in space. And it's going to be a team of Cyborg, Starfire, Green Lantern Jessica Cruz without her Green Lantern's partner, and so that and Azrael. They're going and they're commandeering a ship, Brainiac's skull ship, and going off to fight some big bad. I don't know what's going to happen in here. But this is an all-new number one. The writing team, art team, the creative team on this is amazing. It's coming out July 11th for $3.99, or most likely half off at Cowabunga Comics. So a new step jumping on point, something you guys may want to check out. On to my next pick.
My next pick is on page 10 of the DC previews, and I'll be honest, when I first saw it, I'm like, well, this is interesting. I didn't expect this. It's Injustice versus He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. And basically what happens is the Batman of the Injustice world travels to Eternia and recruits He-Man and his friends to help him defeat Superman of the Injustice Universe. A crossover between essentially an Elseworlds universe in the DC stuff and He-Man, didn't see that coming at all. We've got Tim Seeley writing it, we've got Freddie Williams on the art. This is a 6-issue miniseries. It's a really kind of out there, interesting concept. Good creative team. The Injustice stuff, I think, is a lot of fun. Bringing He-Man in to defeat Superman and have Superman kind of in the wrong on this is very interesting to me. I'm looking forward to see what they do on this. Should be a lot of fun. I think if you're enjoying the Injustice universe, you may want to check this out. Once again, that's Injustice versus He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, number 1 of 6, from DC on page 10 of the DC previews. My next pick is on page 12 of the DC previews. It is Batgirl number 25. Now, since it's a anniversary issue, we get 40 pages. It is $4.99, but it's exploring the relationship between Barbara Gordon and Dick Grayson, which is something that's been a long-term relationship that's had its ups, its downs, its twists and turns and stuff, frankly, over a couple of different continuities. I think it's a lot of fun for them to explore this. I'm looking forward to see what they do. We're also going to have a backup feature with Harley Quinn by Paul Dini doing the writing on that. Should be a lot of fun. I like what they're doing with Batgirl. I like the relationship, complicated though it may be, between her and Dick Grayson. So I'm looking forward to this, even with the extra cost. We do get the extra page count, so that helps. Once again, that's Batgirl number 25 on page 12 of the DC previews. My next pick is on page 51 of the DC previews. It is Teen Titans number 20. Basically, this is a focus on Damian Wayne, who is convinced he is just really the smartest guy in the DC universe. I mean, just ask him. And he's got a new plan to fix everything that these other heroes, these losers like Batman and Superman, just haven't been able to do. He's going to recruit a new group of Teen Titans. It's going to be Kid Flash, Red Arrow, newbies of Roundhouse, Dajin, and Lobo's daughter, which don't know who those three characters are, but hey, it'll be fun. He's going to go build something new deep beneath the new Titans HQ, and they promise this will change the way we look at Robin forever. I think Damian Wayne is a really fun Robin. He's just so egotistical, but so capable that his attitude really, I mean, it's not too surprising. He's the son of Batman, and he knows he's right. So I'm looking forward to meeting some of these new characters, this new group of Teen Titans, and what kind of a twist they've got on this character that'll change how we look at Robin forever, if it indeed does. Either way, it's a new era for the Teen Titans. Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Once again, that's Teen Titans number 20 on page 51 of the DC previews.
This is Alan in Japan, once again, Alien Al 121 on the forums, with my next pick in this month's preview spotlight. And this time I'm in the Marvel catalog, and I'm on page 22. The title is X-Men Grand Design, Second Genesis, number 1 of 2. Writer and artist is Ed Piskor. And basically, I'm recommending this because I did miss it last time. And fortunately, my comic book shop here in Japan, I actually had to go, fortunately, I was just happened to be in the city that my favorite comic shop was in on vacation. And I said, oh, you have X-Men Grand Design. Let me grab a couple copies of that. So he saved me the first one and the second one of the first series. And so it's all new and all different. Witness Wolverine, Thunderbird, Colossus, Storm, and Sunfire suit up as X-Men for the very first time all over again, all through the lens of comics auteur Ed Piskor, who lovingly researches, writes, pencils, inks, colors, and letters every page just for you. The second act of X-Men Grand Design begins now. 48 pages, $5.99. And I think Drew and John reviewed this, the first issue of the first series, and I think they both liked it. The artwork is definitely not like your typical comic book superhero artwork. It's more of a underground or indie style artwork, but I still enjoyed it, mostly because of the comprehensive storytelling of the history of the X-Men. And so I'm looking forward to reading the second chapter of, you know, the all-new, all-different version of the X-Men after they went on hiatus for a while, had some reprints, and then came back in the 1970s. I was like, oh, the X-Men are back, and I'm happy to see him go over this period in the X-Men history. All right, that's all this time. On to the next pick.
Hey, this is James, J.R. Phoenix, back with my next pick in the DC section. This time I'm on page 63 in the DC supplement, and I'm looking at the Crisis on Infinite Earths Companion Deluxe Edition hardcover, written by Marv Wolfman, Jerry Conway, Steve Englehart, I can't pronounce the names, Roy Thomas, and on and on, art by Joe Staton, Todd McFarlane, Kurt Swan, and others. This one, just to let you know, the reason why I'm recommending it, they have a resolicit in here for the Crisis on Infinite Earths hardcover, which came highly recommended from our friends at Cowabunga Comics, Eric and James. So I went ahead and ordered the hardcover for the Crisis on Infinite Earths. And it's a really nice hardcover. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I am going to get to it. I know Perseus on the forums has been reading it, so he's been enjoying it. But this is all the crossover stories that go along with that. It says in here, all the tales that tied into Crisis on Infinite Earths are collected at last. I guess they haven't been collected yet. This volume includes Justice League of America 244. I'm not going to go through all these. There's a ton of them. But if you guys are interested in the Crisis on Infinite Earths hardcover, which is resolicited once again, this is the companion that goes along with it that has all the crossovers. And by the way, that that resolicit for the hardcover is on page 57 in this latest DC previews. So on to my next pick.
My next pick is on page 139 of the main previews. It's Real Science Adventures, The Nicodemus Job number 1 from IDW. Now, this is part of the Atomic Robo universe, and this is doing a pretty deep dive back to the First Crusade into the history of this world. And it looks like it's going to be a heist story set way back when, and I'm kind of curious how this is going to play out. I trust Brian Clevinger, the writer. He's done a great job with this world over the last 10 years now. Wow, it's been that long. And I don't expect to see Atomic Robo himself, but I expect this to have the same, obviously, sensibility and stuff of his world. Should be very fun. Definitely should be different. So if you've been looking for a heist as done by a disgraced soldier, an assassin, an orphan, a scribe, and a thief back around the time of the First Crusade, this is the book for you. Now, I admit that may be a very niche audience, but really this is, I think, going to be interesting to a lot wider fan base than that, because it's some really good stuff. And to have a real science adventure, in kind of air quotes there that you couldn't see, set back at the time of the First Crusade, where really science isn't quite real just yet, I'm curious how that plays out. So this should be a lot of fun. It's $3.99. It's from IDW. It's Real Science Adventures, The Nicodemus Job, number 1 on page 139. Check it out. My next pick is on page 150 of the main previews. It is Star Trek The Next Generation Terra Incognita, number 1. This is continuing the storyline of Through the Mirror, which was continuing the storyline of Star Trek Next Generation Mirror Broken. And this is a miniseries with untold tales of Picard's crew and such as they encounter the villainous doubles from the Mirror Universe. This one's focusing on Lieutenant Barclay and his Mirror Universe version replacing his Prime Universe version. And it's set during the fourth season of Next Generation. I think this will be a lot of fun. I always thought that was a high point for that series. I think Barclay's a fun character. The Mirror Universe is kind of cool. They've been doing some really good stuff with this in the Mirror Broken storyline. As of recording this, I haven't yet read the first part of Through the Mirror. So this is a lot of fun. Should be a good jumping on point if you're willing to just kind of take certain things as given from those other two miniseries. And you may want to pick up those other two miniseries and trade. I've found the first of them a lot of fun. Some really good stuff. I think IDW is doing a great job with how they're managing the Star Trek license. Once again, that is Star Trek The Next Generation Terra Incognita number 1 from IDW on page 150.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with a pick from the IDW section on page 151, and it's Star Trek New Visions, Volume 7. Okay, now, those of you who don't care about Star Trek comic books, hang on, don't fast forward. This is Star Trek, the original series, It's almost like new episodes. Yeah, let me read the blurb, and then if you don't know what these are, I'll explain it to you. Now, right off the bat, it's by John Byrne, but don't think of John Byrne artwork. Think of John Byrne writing. It's a photo book, a fumetti. It's, right, listen, three all-new adventures. First pulled down to a world made entirely of water, the Enterprise is in danger of literally flooding. Spock and McCoy discover a sinister purpose behind this bizarre planet and what pain it is to drown. Then in the Hunger, a mysterious entity has drifted above the outer rim of the galaxy for thousands of years, draining life from all the worlds it found here. Now it has learned of the banquet of populous planets near the heart of the Milky Way and is heading there at terrifying speed, with only the Enterprise standing in its way. Next, Captain Kirk has found himself all alone on the Enterprise before, but what happens when each individual member of the crew finds themselves in a similar state? And who is behind this in isolation? This is a trade paperback. Obviously, it collects multiple stories. It's retails for $17.99, 128 pages. Now, here's the cool thing. Look at the blurb below. It's an advanced solicit for August. Okay, I didn't catch that, but what the heck. And then the John Byrne series is as close as fans will ever come to getting new episodes featuring the original cast. And that is so true. If you've been following these, it truly is like watching an episode, and it's photographs. This isn't artwork. This isn't a comic book of artwork. It's a comic book of, Byrne takes photos from, the original series, and he puts them in with other elements, and he creates brand new stories around them. And really, they are brand new original series stories, and they're really fun. They're really cool. He's been doing this for a while. They get collected into these trades. This is the seventh volume. This might even be the last volume. It doesn't say so in the blurb, so maybe it's not. But the reason I say that is because I have heard that he is going to end this series. So if number seven isn't the last volume, then number eight definitely will be the last volume. But this is a great collection. If you were fans of the Spock and Kirk and McCoy Star Trek, I guarantee you're going to love these. I've really had a blast with them. I'm going to miss them when they're gone, but I'm actually surprised that he's done them for so long. So I appreciate the collection in my library, and this one will be added to my library very soon.
This is James, J.R. Phoenix, back with my next pick. This time I'm in the Marvel supplemental. Seems like everybody's getting a supplemental now. This one is going to be on page 4, and it is Captain America number 1. Writer, Ta-Nehisi Coates. Artist, Lanil Francis Yu. Cover by Alex Ross. Okay, this is interesting because they're pulling Ta-Nehisi Coates off of Black Panther and giving him Captain America. Ta-Nehisi, as you guys probably know, comes from the literary world. His Black Panther series, for me, started off really rough because it was a little bit too much exposition. Later issues, near the end of his run on Black Panther, it started getting better because he started writing more like a comic book writer would write. So I'm interested to see if he doesn't have to create the whole backstory and Captain America's pretty set, his take on it, and also to see if he makes it more action-oriented versus wordy exposition. This one, nobody's picked it yet on the forum, so I'm going to read you the solicit. It is Winter in America. For over 70 years, he has stood in stalwart defense of our country and its people. But in the aftermath of Hydra's takeover of the nation, Captain America is a figure of controversy, carrying a tarnished shield, and a new enemy is rising. Who are the power elite? And how do they intend to co-opt and corrupt the symbol that is Captain America? So it sounds like he's getting corrupted again. This one comes out on the 4th of July. So All-American Hero coming out on the 4th of July. And on the cover, it looks like there's Red Skull. So that shouldn't be a spoiler, but I guess he'll be one of the characters in this bad group. Cover price $4.99, so it's an overpriced issue. So definitely check it out. On to my next pick. Hey, this is James, J.R. Phoenix, back with my next pick in the Marvel supplemental. I'm on page 8, and I'm looking at Amazing Spider-Man number 1. And the reason why I'm bringing attention to this is because we have a new writer, Nick Spencer, the first time on Amazing Spider-Man. And forever since Dan Slott left. And then we have Ryan Ottley. an artist that is coming over to Marvel since leaving Invincible. He's been with Kirkman forever, writing or drawing Invincible. So we have two people who are really new, changing up things at Spider-Man, and it looks like an alien invasion hits New York City, and the only one who can stop it is Spider-Man. I would think somebody else could, but Spider-Man's the only one who can stop it, I guess. But that's far from all you'll find here. A revelation from the past puts Peter Parker's job, relationships, and whole life in jeopardy. And if even that's not enough, you'll see a new roommate, new love interest, and a new villain. So we're getting a lot of new stuff coming out of this. I'm just interested to see Ryan Ottley do some art. He's a really great artist, something different than Invincible. And I'm interested to see a new writer on Spider-Man. So the dawn of a new age, new jumping on point. This is going to be a big oversized issue. It's coming out July 11th for $5.99, but half price at Cowabunga Comics, I'm sure. Check it out. On to my next pick.
Brawlinator again, and I'm in the Marvel catalog on page 14 for Cosmic Ghost Rider number 1. This popular new character was first introduced in the Donny Cates Jeff Shaw run of Thanos. His identity was at first a mystery. I thought it might be Deadpool the way that he spoke, but it was eventually revealed to be none other than Frank Castle in Thanos number 16, which also reveals how Frank Castle became the Ghost Rider. It shows that the Punisher was one of the heroes fighting Thanos during Earth's last stand. Now, I won't spoil everything that happened next, but if you're a Thanos fan, you've already read all this. Nonetheless, this new miniseries featuring the newest incarnation of the Spirit of Vengeance comes out this summer, and I just wanted to be sure to mention it.
Hey, this is James J.R. Phoenix back with my next pick in the Marvel Supplemental, and I'm on page 20 this time, and I'm looking at Death of Inhumans. Donny Cates coming out with a new series. Ariel Olivetti, the cover, artist, and then Kari Andrews is going to be the cover artist. This will be Donny Cates on the Inhumans, and it's saying the title says it all. Here lie the Inhumans and the Kree of going on a murdering spree. I'm interested to see what Cates does with the Inhumans, because so many of us readers out there have had such a hard time getting into the Inhumans, even when Marvel was pushing them. And trying to replace the X-Men, that's not happening anymore. But the Inhumans are still there, and there's something that at times they can be okay. So I know Donny Cates can write anything. He is Marvel's best writer right now, probably him and Jason Aaron. And I'm interested to see his take on this. And I think he'll do some good things. I can't remember if this is a limited series or if this is an ongoing. And I'm looking at the online solicit because I don't have the previews in front of me, so I don't know. But this one's $4.99, so it's going to be an oversized number one, half off, I'm sure, at Cowabunga Comics. So definitely check it out if you guys like Cates.
Hi there. This is Alan in Japan, Alien Al 121 on the forums, with my first pick in this month's preview spotlight. I'm in the DC section of the catalog. I should say the DC catalog. Got to get used to that. And I'm on page 54. And my pick is The Wildstorm, number 15. Written by Warren Ellis. Art and cover by John Davis Hunt. Variant cover by Valentine de Landro. Mark Slayton took his show on the road as the thing inside him he called the Carer told him to. But whom is he hunting? And for what purpose? John Lynch is crisscrossing America to warn the other Thunderbolt Tech subjects that Io might have discovered them. But Io might not be the only threat to their lives. The uneasy peace between Io and Skywatch has become a cold war, and there are plans for a hot war. On sale July 18th, $3.99, 32 pages, full color. All right. And I've been recommending this almost every month, maybe more recently every other month. But I've been enjoying it. The action is kind of on a slow build up, and reminds me, I think I said before, of Planetary, which is also written by Warren Ellis, and I can kind of see the same writing style. So if you like Planetary, you should try out The Wildstorm. On to the next pick.
Hello, This is Martin with Cosmic Times, and I am in the Marvel section in their little pullout book. I am opening up to page 50 and 51. It's a two-page spread. This is the True Believers month, and it's for Fantastic Four. That's right. Marvel's True Believers are those $1 books they put out all the time. They did some for Venom and Spider-Man a few months ago, or maybe last month, and now they're doing one on Fantastic Four. I don't have much faith in the new Fantastic Four comic that Marvel's putting out, but I do know that these are all really good books. So you can get the first issue of Fantastic Four, the first appearance of Galactus. You can get John Byrne's work on the Four, Walt Simonson's work on the Four, Mark Waid and Mike Waringo's work on the Four. Just a bunch of great Fantastic Four samplers over the long history of the series. I recommend getting them all, every one of them. All, what is this? There is 12 of these. Get all 12 of them. It's $12 for 12 comics. You can't beat it. And it's the Fantastic Four. And as everybody knows, the Fantastic Four is known as the world's greatest comic magazine.
Okay, true believers, even if you're merely a fair weather fan of the Fantastic Four or a hardcore follower of all things related to the first family of Marvel Comics, this is a sweet deal for you. The True Believers line is releasing some of the pivotal moments in the Fantastic Four's history. Each issue is only $1, and most of them are worth much, much more. These, again, are over on page 50 and 51 of the Marvel previews. Check out some of these special reprints. Fantastic Four number 1 from 1961, the book that started it all. There's also Fantastic Four versus Doctor Doom, reprinting Fantastic Four number 5, also from 1961. This features, of course, the first battle with none other than Victor Von Doom. They also are reprinting The Coming of Galactus, which is Fantastic Four number 48, which began the era of what I consider to be the best of Jack Kirby. Plus, they're reprinting some of the best stuff from John Byrne and Walt Simonson. They're even reprinting the very first classic issue of What If number 1 from 1977, which told the story of Spider-Man joining the Fantastic Four. Classic stuff all around. Do yourself a favor and pick up some of these on the very cheap.
Hey, it's Drew with a pick from Marvel, and it is Moon Knight 197. Oh, so close to issue 200. Moon Knight is written by Max Bemis, with art by Jason Burrows and a cover by Becky Cloonan. This issue focuses on a group of psychotic killers gathered for a feast, but there's more on the menu than delectable dishes. Who is the mysterious figure who has gathered these villains, and to what end? Will Moon Knight make it in time to dish out their just desserts, or will he become the main course? This is a $3.99 book in shops on July 25th. By the looks of the cover, I don't know if he's going to make it. It looks great. It's been a really fun volume by Bemis and Burroughs. I highly recommend it. And we're almost to issue 200. Who knew? Who knew we'd ever get there the way it's relaunched and stopped and started? So check out Moon Knight number 197 from Marvel.
On page 69 of the Marvel previews, it's a mystery to me. As fans know, big shakeups and hidden secrets are the X-Men's stock and trade, so this announcement of a completely unidentified X-classified title could be just about anything. Again, I'm on page 69. It's just a mysterious title without any creative team announcement. Maybe it's something as simple as a new Wolverine title. Maybe they're sending the original five X-Men back home or to their era. Maybe it's the return of the Uncanny X-Men. Who knows? It's also not clear if X-Classified will be a new ongoing series, a miniseries, or an event. Personally, I'd love to see the Uncanny back with Claremont at the helm. Maybe even Jim Lee on art. Of course, that's not going to happen since Jim is over in charge of DC. Don't know if this encompasses the entire X-Men line of comics or individual titles. Again, it's a mystery, but thought you might want to add it to your pre-orders just in case.
Hey, this is James, J.R. Phoenix, back. I am once again in the Marvel Supplemental, but this time I'm in the back. I'm on page 98 and 99, where I'm looking at two omnibi. I'm going to be emailing Eric on one of these to make sure it's something worth getting. But we're looking at the X-Men Mutant Massacre Omnibus, written by everyone and their brother. But Chris Claremont is on this, Louise Simonson, Joe Duffy, Walter Simonson, it goes on and on. The artists, there's about 20 artists on here, this, so I'm not going to read it all. But this is the first X-Men crossover event, and still the most brutal. When Sabretooth and the Lethal Marauders attack the underground outcast known as the Morlocks, the X-Men, X-Factor, and New Mutants join forces to stop them. It talks about all the issues that are in here. I'm not going to go over all that stuff, but this is $100. I'm going to pick it up for $50 most likely. And this one, just so you guys know, it's probably going to be in the neighborhood of 800 to 900 pages based on the price. I can't see the page count on the online solicits. Coming out November 7th, so I'm buying it way in advance. That's why I'm getting that big discount. Now, on the page 99, this is the omnibus for sure I'm getting. Marvel Knights by Joe Quesada omnibus. Written by Kevin Smith, Mac, David Joe Quesada, Jimmy Palmiotti, Garth Ennis, art Dave Ross, and Joe Quesada is the cover artist. This collects the first 15 issues of the 1998 Daredevil series, which, you know, came out to a bunch of acclaim, and the half issue for Daredevil. Father 1 through 6, Marvel Authentics, Daredevil number 1, and material from Marvel Knights Double Shot number 1. It's collecting a lot of really great material. This Daredevil 1998 series, I tried looking for it on eBay. You can't pick it up. It's tough to pick up. They came out with the omnibus for a long time ago with some Daredevil stuff that collected this, and it was sold out. So this is definitely a pickup for me. I don't know how many pages this is, but it's $100, so I'm going to pick it up for $50 at Cowabunga. So once again, probably in that neighborhood of 800 to 900 pages. Definitely some good material, so check it out if you're interested in that. And heck, you got Kevin Smith doing some writing on here, so I think it'll be good material. On to my next pick.
If you haven't got enough Fantastic Four this month already, then this next solicit is for you. It's Marvel's next Epic Collection trade paperback covering the coming of Galactus in the third volume of their Fantastic Four Epic line. Now, of course, that coming of Galactus issue number 48 is reprinted in the True Believers run this month also. This is volume 3 from the Fantastic Four Epic Collection line, and this trade includes issues 33 through 51 and annual number 3 of the Fantastic Four during that era where Stan Lee and Jack Kirby were firing on all cylinders. They were really hitting their stride here. So many first appearances took place during this portion of their run together, including the Frightful Four, the Inhumans, Galactus, and of course the Silver Surfer. Stan Lee called it the world's greatest comic magazine, and he wasn't kidding. If Stan Lee and Jack Kirby set the comics world on fire in 1961 with the debut of the Fantastic Four, in 1965 they burned it down, letting loose an unmatched burst of rapid-fire creativity, giving birth to new villains and even a superhero wedding. Of course, there's also monster menaces galore, including Dragon Man and out-of-this-world villains from the shape-shifting Skrulls to the undersea warlord Atuma. But it's not just the panel-bursting action that makes the Fantastic Four great, and fans of this first family know this. It's the drama. It's the drama of a family united to explore all the wonders of the Marvel Universe side by side. And I, for one, am very happy to see Marvel embracing the Fantastic Four once again. Now, this book clocks in at 448 pages. It's only $39.99 retail. You'll probably find places where you can get that for half off, which is a steal. Add this to your collection if you've never read this run before. It is truly a seminal work by Lee and Kirby.
Billy Hogan again. My fourth pick is back in the main previews catalog on page 176 in the Dynamite Entertainment section with Project Superpowers number 0. Written by Rob Williams, drawn by Sergio Davila, who also does one of the variant covers. The main cover artist is Francesco Mattina. Variant covers are also done by John Royal, Philip Tan, Ed Benes, and J.G. Jones. Superpowers number 0. Project Superpowers is back, written by Rob Suicide Squad Williams, illustrated by Sergio Injustice Superman Davila, and featuring an all-star roster of cover artists. This introductory priced issue is the perfect starting point for the most ambitious superhero story of 2018. An all-new threat faces the Earth while the team faces turmoil from within and must overcome all obstacles to prove their worth and value in a world that desperately needs its heroes. The death-defying Devil, Samson, Black Terror, Masquerade, Green Llama, Scarab, and more are all here as the adventure begins anew, featuring an introductory story leading right into the all-new number one next month. Project Superpowers number zero is action-packed, and introductory priced includes bonus materials and 16 pages of original story. It's 32 pages long, and as it says, it's for 10 cents. I read some of Dynamite's original run of Project Superpowers and really enjoyed the reintroduction of some of these forgotten Golden Age heroes. And who can resist a 10-cent cover price? Granted, the story is only 16 pages, and I hope the bonus material does a great job of introducing the characters and hooking us in to want to order issue number one next month. If you're interested in reading Dynamite Entertainment's original run of Project Superpowers, on the next page, they've offered again the trade paperbacks of their original run of the various characters involved in Project Superpowers, so check them out also. Back to you, John.
Hey, this is James, J.R. Phoenix, and I'm back in the main previews on page 208, and I'm looking in the Boom section, and it's a new book by Cullen Bunn at Boom Studios, Bone Parish. The artist, never heard of, Mustafa Karasu? I don't know how you say that name. But this one looks very interesting. It's going to be a horror. So let's read this list here. He returns to Boom Studios, Cullen, with a chilling necromantic horror story. A new drug is sweeping through the streets of New Orleans, one made from the ashes of the dead. Wars are being fought over who will control the supply, while the demand only rises. While the crime families wage war, users begin to experience terrifying visions of the dead coming back to life through them. Sounds like it could be really cool. You got drug wars, you have people basically, I don't know, snorting people's dead bodies and having horror, and who knows, maybe the dead are going to start coming back to life through these people. I have no idea what's going on, if this is like a play on iZombie, people taking on the thoughts of the people they're consuming. But it sounds really cool, and it's a horror tale from Cullen Bunn, and he's done some cool horror stuff. So if that sounds like it's something up your alley, it's coming out July 25th, $3.99 at Boom. Check it out. On to my next pick.
Hello, Martin with Cosmic Time. Once again, I am in the Boom section in the main catalog on page 208, and I am looking at Bone Parish. This is a book from Cullen Bunn, so it's probably pretty good just based on that, but it sounds really cool. Let me read the synopsis real quick. A new drug is sweeping through the streets of New Orleans, one made from the ashes of the dead. How cool does that sound? Wars are being fought over who will control the supply, while the demand only rises. This sounds so interesting. And the best part is that people take the drug and they start having visions of the dead coming back to life through them. So this sounds creepy. It sounds cool. It sounds like an original concept. It's set in New Orleans, so that's a cool locale. So I'm going to check out Bone Parish number one. It's from the Boom Studios on page 208, and it looks like it's $3.99 for 32 pages, so I am down.
Hey guys, it's Heidi with Cosmic Times. So I'm in the previews catalog and I'm on page 210. It's the Boom Studio section and I'm looking at Rune World number one. What caught my eye about this is the illustrations look super cute. So kudos to Derek Loftman for that. And the story sounds cute too. It's Rex and Pongo and they're on an adventure. They want fame and fortune. They had a map, but they lost it. They lost the map. Who hasn't lost the map? We've all lost the map, right? I'm going to check it out. It's only $3.99 and it's 32 pages. So yeah, so you should go ahead and check it out too. What else that I liked about this is it's an all ages comic. So it's something that I can share with both of my kids. But they might actually really like this because I think it's within the same vein of Adventure Time and the Adventure Zone. So they like both of those. So I'm going to go ahead and share that with them. So yay, bye. Well, it's Heidi again with Cosmic Times, and this is my last pick of the month, so pay attention, it's a good one. I'm on page 214 of the previews catalog, and again in Boom Studios. Yes, I'm looking at Petals. It's an original graphic novel. It's a hardcover, $16.89, 48 pages, and the illustrations look really cute. And what else? The whole story is told without any words. And I just love that concept. I think that's neat. It's a, you know, story about friendship and being selfless. And I think everybody needs a little bit more in that in their lives. But it's also something I could share with my kids. So thank you to Gustav Borgs for going ahead and writing this and illustrating it. Can't wait to check it out. And you should too. All right. Bye.
Hey, it's Drew with a pick from Boom. And it is the Slam Next Jam Trade paperback, written by Pamela Ribbon, with art and cover by Veronica Fish. This is the second volume of Slam, and this is a $14.99 book that's out September 12th. It's very self-contained. It's pretty all ages, so you shouldn't have any problem picking this up if you'd like, but you could always go back and get that first volume of Slam, which is also fantastic. I've read these in singles, and I think it's really a fun series. Great art, great writing, cool characters, a lot of fun in here. Check out Slam Next Jam. The trade paperback is out from Boom Studios.
Billy Hogan again. My fifth pick this time comes in the back half of previews on page 242 from Abstract Studios with Strangers in Paradise 25 number 5. Writer, story, and cover artist Terry Moore. Kachu's search for a rogue Parker girl leads her to a Caribbean island and a sinister newcomer to the deadly game of hide-and-seek. Don't miss a single issue of this exciting new series. 24 pages black and white for $3.99. I first began reading Strangers in Paradise back when episode 74, so I was a latecomer to that series, but I've read everything that Terry Moore has published since, and one thing that I'm enjoying the most about this new Strangers in Paradise series is that he's creating a whole Terry Moore universe with characters from his other series, Echo and Rachel Rising, and bringing them into this new story. So if you enjoyed comic books, but not necessarily superheroes, I would highly recommend Strangers in Paradise 25, number 5. Back to you, John. Billy Hogan again. My sixth and final pick in this month's previews comes from the back half of the catalog on page 243. From Action Lab Entertainment and Athena Voltaire number 5, written by Steve Bryant, drawn by Yusuf Idris and cover artist Steve Bryant. Athena Voltaire and Golden Dawn, Part 1. A new story arc begins as Athena travels to Portugal to retrieve a previously undiscovered Da Vinci Codex. Of course, there are always other interested parties. This issue also comes with variant covers by Johnson and Schoonover. The first issue of this new ongoing series was my first exposure to Athena Voltaire, although I've heard of the character and seen a little bit of her online. She's kind of a pulp-era style hero along the lines of The Shadow or Doc Savage, and I've enjoyed their comic book adventures, so I'm really enjoying Athena Voltaire and would recommend it to anyone who enjoys the pulp era of heroes. Back to you, John, and thanks for providing this forum so that we can all share our enthusiasm and love for the comic book medium.
All right, this is Alan in Japan with my last pick, I think, in this month's preview spotlight. This time I'm in the regular catalog on page 250. I'm in the Alterna section, and my pick for this month is Tinseltown. Number 3. And basically, it's number 3 of 5. It's a limited series. And I just read number 1. I enjoyed it a lot. I guess the story is basically about a woman in 1915 who decides that she wants to be a police officer, which was a very difficult thing to do in 1915. And she couldn't find any police officer jobs in L.A. However, there was a Hollywood studio called Utopia who offered jobs as a police officer, but it was basically only acting as a police officer. However, she thought that it would be a good way to start, So she joined the Utopia Studios police force, and it gets interesting from there. I like the story. I guess it's David Lucarelli is the author. I don't really know. He says he works in Hollywood, but I don't really know what else he does right now. And the artist is Henry Ponciano. And his artwork is somewhat reminiscent of Kevin Maguire's, maybe not as much detail, and maybe not quite as expressive, but it reminds me of it. I think it's really good. Lots of talking heads, but overall, the story is really good, and I've been enjoying it. And I missed ordering number two. I'll try to get that directly from Alterna, I think, when it comes out, maybe next month. But I'm hoping to get all five issues of the series, or at least the trade paperback. All right, that's all for me this month. Thanks, John, for letting us make these clips and posting them in during the spotlight. And I'm hoping to hear more from the rest of you guys. And have a good day.
Hey, this is James, J.R. Phoenix, back with my next pick in the previews catalog. And this time I'm on page 252 with my favorite new publisher, Aftershock. And I'm looking at Relay, written by Zach Thompson, Eric Bromberg, and Donnie Cates, one of my favorite writers right now. And the cover art is Dan Brown, and the art is Andy Clark. This one, I'm going to read it to you because you guys need to know what Relay is about. A perfect future of intergalactic travel and community. Every newly discovered planet is unified culturally through a monolithic structure known as the Galactic Relay. Although the towering monument is meant to inspire conformity of ideas, technology, and progress, many resent the foreign structure. Jad Carter, a Relay employee, must keep the peace and act as an emissary to new civilizations. But when he finds the Relay's mythological creator, Hank Donaldson, his idea of reality and the universe shatters. Equal parts The Fifth Element and Philip K. Dick, and directly springboarding off the previously released Free Comic Book Day Relay. So if you guys picked this up for Free Comic Book Day, which I did, the number zero is coming out. This series is an exploration of monoculture, identity, and the deceptive nature of legend set in the thriving future where humanity forcibly assimilates new worlds. This sounds really cool. This is going to be some hardcore sci-fi coming from the guys at Aftershock. And the cover, I'm just looking at the cover, so I can't tell you from the interiors because I can't see them and I don't have my previews catalog. It looks pretty amazing. So definitely check it out if you want something different and you're into Aftershock. This comes out July of 11th, $3.99. On to my next pick. Hey, this is James, J.R. Phoenix, back with my next pick in Aftershock again. My favorite publisher, newer, smaller publisher. Page 255, looking at Clan Killers, number one. This is written by Sean Lewis, and the art is by Antonio Fuso. I'm going to read this to you because it sounds really cool. Like the demented stepchild of Game of Thrones, Braveheart, and Mark Millar's Kick-Ass, Sean Lewis brings readers into an ancient Ireland filled with clans, mystics, warriors, and monsters of mythic proportion. Fenola has a problem. Her father is losing his mind. All the old king cares about is power. And Fenola thinks power is stupid. Fenola thinks her vicious older sisters are stupid. Fenola thinks the royal court is stupid. And above all, she thinks the clans across the country are stupid. So she thinks everything's stupid. So she makes a plan with her good friend, Cillian? I don't know how to pronounce these names. Let's kill all the clans, and then we go for dad. Filled with countless twists and turns, Clan Killers promises to be a wild ride. Could be hit or miss based on this. The art looks okay. Doesn't look, jaw-droppingly good. It's a little sketchy. But I'm taking a flyer on this because I love a lot of the stuff that's coming out from Aftershock. And also, Cowabunga Comics, just FYI, they usually have a bundle where if you're picking up everything from Aftershock, you get a huge discount. It's like 45% off if you just buy the line. So I'm starting to buy everything that Aftershock puts out. Definitely pick it up. Try it out. If you don't like it, you don't have to get it later on. But I'm taking a flyer on this because it sounds good. On to my next pick.
This is Brawlinator again. Finally, my final pick this month is on page 271 of the previews catalog, and it's Archie meets Batman 66. Yes, Gotham's Caped Crusader is coming to the pages of Archie Comics to powwow with Archie Andrews and the gang. This meetup is written by Jeff Parker and Michael Morsey, with pencils by Dan Parent, inks by Jay Bone, and colors by Kelly Fitzpatrick. This series will find Archie crossing paths with the Adam West version of Bruce Wayne from the 1960s TV show. At his side, of course, is Robin the Boy Wonder, originally played by Burt Ward. The action and intrigue of Archie meets Batman 66 begins when a team of Gotham's most notorious villains decide they need a new base of operations, one with a resident millionaire and fewer superheroes to stop them. Their plan doesn't go unnoticed for long, and soon enough, Riverdale High has a couple of new transfer students, Dick Grayson and Barbara Gordon. I'm in, and while I'm not usually one who cares about variant covers, this number one issue has a few tempting covers they're offering, so I haven't decided which one to buy yet. Now that's it for me this month. Thanks again, John, and everyone. I always enjoy taking part in the previews episodes, and I look forward to hearing everyone else's picks this month. I'll see you in the forums and on the Slack channel. Thanks.
It's Drew with my last pick, and it comes from Avatar in the back half of previews. It is the Crossed 10th anniversary hardcover of volume 1. This is of course written by Garth Ennis with art by Jason Burrows. Yes, the same Jason Burrows who is now working on Moon Knight and doing such a good job over there. He got his start back in Crossed so long ago. This is a limited hardcover, 1,000 copies available in shops on July 25th. It's $34.99. It is a beautiful rendering of this first volume that, not gonna lie, might take some explaining if grandma pulls it off the bookshelf exactly what it is, but if you dig this sort of dystopian, twisted, nightmarish future type story that's really crazy and wild and out there, this is where it all got started. This is the good stuff, really the launching pad for what Crossed is all about, continues to be many, many volumes and iterations later. Check out Crossed, the hardcover for volume 1 from Avatar.
Hi, Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with my last pick of the month. It's on page 321 and 322. It's the Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide. Oh, the blurb is calling it Hall of Fame Edition, Volume 48 Hall of Fame Edition. Anyway, come on. Does anyone listening to this not know what the Comic Book Price Guide is? Anyone? You. You? Okay, get on to the library or go on to this really cool thing called the internet. Look it up. Come on back. Okay, see Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide. You know, why am I recommending this? It's been around forever, or I guess since it's volume 48, it's been around for 48 years. I buy this maybe once every 5 years or so. I do sell a lot of comic books on eBay, large lots after I read them. Like over the years, I may have bought a lot of Green Lanterns in the 90s. And after I finally read through them after owning them for ages, I pop them onto eBay in a big lot. And so I check out the price guide, mainly just to make sure I'm not giving away some gem that I didn't know about, because I do sell these lots at very good prices. Anyway, that's all beside itself. The Comic Book Price Guide is just cool. Again, you all know what it is. It's really got interesting articles. It's really got interesting information on collecting, helps you determine what condition the comic book is. And then, of course, there's all that teeny tiny print of all the comic books in the world and history and how much they feel that they may be worth. Whether or not you could ever get that for it is debatable. Anyway, it's about time for me to get a new one, and so I'm going to get one this year. And the main reason I'm going to get the one this year is on page 322, you see a few more optional covers, and one of them is Planet of the Apes, with some really great art by Ryan Sirk. Ryan Sirk's a great artist, Planet of the Apes. If anybody out there has figured me out by now, you know that one of the things I'll always talk about is Planet of the Apes. And this cover looks great, so I'm having my comic book shop order that cover for me, and it will be in my hot little hands, and then I won't have to buy the Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide again for another 5 or so years.
This is James, J.R. Phoenix, back with my next pick. I am on page 334, according to the online solicits, and I'm looking at the humanoid section. I point out humanoids a lot in the past because, depending on the month, they come out with some good stuff, and they deal a lot with European comics and artists and stories, and they come out with some amazing hardcovers. And over here, I'm looking at a few different things all on this page. The first one is Barbarella. I know that Barbarella came out a long time ago. I believe it was in the 70s. Honestly, I'm not sure. But this is a collection of the first two volumes of the classic erotic sci-fi series with an English adaption by Kelly Sue DeConnick. Once again, she did the adaption. She didn't actually write this because it's Jean-Claude Forest who was the writer, and he was the artist as well. And Barbarella, trapped on the planet Lithian, Barbarella finds herself in a series of body adventures with a variety of strange beings and the wrath of the Minute Eater. Barbarella's traveling circus delirium enters another dimension led by a mysterious and alluring Aquaman. Now, I'm definitely picking this up because Barbarella has a lot of influence on different comics that you'll see later on. And if you haven't read it, this is a classic story, definitely something you may want to look at picking up. Now, I'm also going to point out some other things that you guys, if you haven't read, you need to start reading some different things. One is Bouncer. It's a hardcover by Alejandro Jodorowsky. He's a great writer. This is more of a Western tale that he does. I have this hardcover. It's kind of pricey. It's $44.95, so take that into account. Look at it online. They give you free preview copies. If you go to Humanoid's website, they'll show you like 10 pages of the book. You can even check it on Amazon, but you'll get a better discount through Eric at Cowabunga than you do at Amazon. The other one that I'm going to point out is an even better book by Alejandro Jodorowsky, and that is The Meta Barons. I have the big, thick hardcover that they have solicited, which is darn near $50, but they have a soft cover they're doing. It's 1995. It's the first chunk of this, and his Jodorowsky's sci-fi series, really good stuff. If you're into sci-fi, you may love this stuff. The art in here is amazing. Once again, go to the Humanoids website and you can check this stuff out for free. They'll give you like 10 pages of a sample. And it's stuff that I really think if you're into European comics, artists, writers, you definitely want to check this out. So on to my next pick.
Hey, it's Martin with Cosmic Times. This is my final pick of the month. I am on page 388, and this puts me in the Titan section. And my pick is The Road to the 13th Doctor, number one, the 10th Doctor Special. That's a mouthful, but it looks like it's going to be a fun series of one-shots that Titan's going to be putting out. You have a 10th Doctor one-shot out this month, or at least in previews this month, followed by the 11th Doctor in the June catalog, the 12th Doctor in the July catalog, and then in the August catalog, we get something called The Many Lives of Doctor Who, and then in September, woo, the 13th Doctor launches. I'm excited about this. I'm a huge Doctor Who fan, but I'm going to be honest. I think Titan was putting out way too many Doctor Who books before. I think having a ongoing series with each of the Doctors was a bad idea. I think doing mini-series and one-shots and specials, that's more my cup of tea, and I'm looking forward to each and every one of these. The first one is $3.99, and like I said, it's on page 388 in the Titan section. It's The Road to the 13th Doctor, number one, 10th Doctor Special. Make sure you get it, because I'm going to get it too.
My next pick is one of those things that honestly I'm not sure if I'm gonna love it or hate it, but it's such a bizarre concept I feel obligated to check out the first issue. It is The Long Con number 1 of 10 on page 360. Now the fact that it's 1 of 10 gives me some hope because that means they've got an ending in mind. The basic concept here is 5 years ago, a 50-mile radius of the Lost Spinoza Convention Center was destroyed. And everything within the Long Con comic book convention happening there, gone. Except it didn't get destroyed. Everything survived. And proof of that comes out a couple of years later, and a reporter who just left like minutes before everything went kablooey is sent back in to go figure out what's going on and such. So this is kind of a post-apocalyptic story set in a comic book convention, and I really don't know how this is going to play out. It could be great, it could be something that just doesn't work for me, but may work for others. I don't know, they've got 4 pages of art there on page 361 of the previews catalog. Annoyingly, these are not pages in sequential order, so it was kind of confusing and almost turned me off of, geez, do I really want to get this? But I'm going to try it. I'm going to see how it works. It seems like a fun mashup of kind of the insanity of a Comic-Con and a post-apocalyptic world kind of mashed together. We'll see how this works. I may hold off ordering the second, third, or whatever issues until I get this first one and see if I like it. It's from Oni Press, so I think it'll do all right. It's just a question of is it for me or not. Like I said, I don't know, but it looked interesting. I do think there's an audience out there for that. So you may want to check out the Long Con number 1 of 10 on page 360 and see if it's right for you. Much like my last pick, this next one is kind of something a bit different. And hopefully it works for me, although I'll be honest, it'll probably be a long time before I actually get around to reading it, just because of the nature of it. On page 373 is the Con Artist soft cover. This is written by Fred Van Lente. We've got art by Tom Fowler, but don't let that confuse you. This is a prose book, so I don't know how much art we get other than maybe just a cover here. And frankly, the cover is almost in like a Funko Pop style, which doesn't really thrill me. But the concept I find kind of cool. This is billed as an illustrated mystery, so maybe we're getting more art than I was originally thinking. And it is a murder mystery set at San Diego Comic-Con. There is a creator who goes there, his rivals found murder, he becomes the prime suspect. He's got to figure out what's actually happened there. And I think this is a cool concept. Prose books sit on my shelf for a while before getting read, typically. $14.99 is a little expensive for a 288-page book. I'm assuming, though, that part of that is just because there's going to be a lot of art there since it's an illustrated mystery. I don't know. This just sounds different, interesting, and one that I thought I should point out. As to how well it captures the Comic-Con experience, don't know. Fred Van Lente's obviously been a number of times, so he should have a good kind of vantage point on it. And this just seemed like an interesting, like I said, mashup of a murder mystery and Comic-Con stuff. So I thought it'd be worth calling out. So once again, that's the Con Artist soft cover on page 373 from Quirk Books.
Hey, this is James, J.R. Phoenix, back with another pick. This time I'm on page 390 in the Titan section. And I'm looking at a comic coming out from the Static Press imprint, which are European comics being translated into English. This one is John Charles Godin, and the artist, I'm not going to butcher these names, you guys can read it online, or when you get your previews, but it's called Dead Life. I'm going to read you the solicit. The worldwide zombie epidemic has arrived. When Stephen unknowingly drinks from a cursed chalice he finds in his grandparents' attic, he has no idea that his actions will have dire consequences, turning the world into an undead nightmare. No idea if this is good or not. Looks very interesting from the previews I've seen on Titan's website. Looks like it'd be something really cool. So zombies, European comic art, sounds like a win to me. July 18th it comes out. Now something I want to tell you Titan Comics is doing. This one's $5.99. You guys are thinking, wow, that's expensive. Most of the time when they have a comic listed at $5.99, you're looking at about 64-page comic. So you're getting way more than what you get with an America comic that's $3.99. You're getting triple the information. So usually this comes out as like 3 issues and then there's a trade and it doesn't save you money waiting for the trade. So you might as well pick up the singles and get the story. It's something that Titan started doing and I've been loving their Static Press. This one looks like it's out of France. So check it out, pick it up, on to my next pick. Hey, this is James, JR Phoenix, back with my second to the last pick, the penultimate pick. This one's on page 391, and I'm in Titan again. And this time I'm looking at a hardcover, Exterminator 17, from Enniki Bilal. I'm butchering these names, I know. And Jean-Pierre Dionnet is the writer. Enniki Bilal, I think, is the name. And Igor Baranko. I can't say these names. Coming out October 17th for $19.99. I'm going to get a discount through Cowabunga, so I'm not paying full price. And this is another European comic that's being translated into English, and I've been on a European comic kick. I've been enjoying them, loving them, because they're different. This one, I'm going to read you the solicit. Artist Enniki Bilal teams with world-renowned writer Jean-Pierre Dionnet in creating sci-fi masterpiece. A rich and intricate world, perfect for both science fiction and fantasy fans, of which I am both. Warrior robots are strewn across the galaxy, fighting for their human masters. But when the creator of these mechanical killers finds his soul trapped in one of his exterminator, the balance of power is about to shift. If you look at the art, I went online to check this out. It looks really good. The story sounds interesting. And most of these European comics, the reason why they're translating and bringing them over is because it's really cool stuff. It's stuff that's done very well in Europe, and you guys got to give it a chance, and you may find something that you like. I'm going to take a flyer on this. Once again, I'm not paying $19.99. I'm getting a discount, but check it out. Ships October 17th. And on to my last pick. Hey, this is James, JR Phoenix, back with my final pick. And this time I'm on page 408, and I'm in the Valiant section. And I'm looking at Britannia, Lost Eagles of Rome, number one, by Peter Milligan, art by Robert Gill, cover artist Carrie Nord. Love Carrie Nord. This one, it's a very long solicit to read, but it's $3.99, ships July 25th. I'm going to read it to you, but if you're into ancient Rome, I have no idea how this stuff is tied into the Valiant universe. I really don't think it does. But I love Roman centurion stuff, and I've been enjoying the other Britannia series that came out. But this one says, an all-new epic begins. Valiant's sold-out descent into horrors of the ancient world returns with a blood-stained jumping-on point from legendary comics master Peter Milligan and Harvey Award-nominated artist Robert Gill. As Antonius Axa History's first detective launches into an otherworldly mystery of monsters, magic, and conspiracy at the boundaries of human understanding. The Roman standard, the eagle born at the front of each Roman legion, was more than just a symbol of the soldiers that carried it. It was a symbol of Rome itself, the ultimate embodiment of the empire's power. But now, in the midst of shrouded Germanic forest of Totenwald, the unthinkable has happened. A rampaging barbarian horde has crushed three of Rome's most highly skilled detachments in battle and captured the mighty Roman eagle. This really happened, by the way, FYI. His authority threatened, this all too public shame. The mad Emperor Nero has dispatched Antonius Axa, the empire's finest detectioner, and hero Britannia, and Aquila, the sword-wielding champion of the gladiatorial arena, to reclaim his stolen relics at any cost. But what began as a simple mission will soon become a terrifying journey into the dark heart of belief itself, as the isolated woodlands of Rome's enemies reveal unseen dimensions, and the true power of the legion's lost eagles threatens to consume any who would pursue them. So it sounds like they're taking a real thing that happened in history, and they're putting a magical spin on it. This sounds like it'll be a good read. The other Britannia series I really like. So if that sounds like it's something that's up your alley, I would definitely recommend checking out. It comes out July 25th for $3.99, but I will get my discount through Cowabunga Comics. And that is my final pick. Thank you very much for listening. Back to you, John.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason from Hawaii. I'm just doing my shout-out clip for last month's preview spotlight episode. My first shout-out goes to Alan and Martin. Guys, thank you very much for recommending Dazzler X Song number 1. You know, I'm a big Dazzler fan. I remember picking up issue number 1 back in the 80s, and that was pretty awesome. So again, Alan and Martin, thank you for recommending Dazzler X Song number 1. And a big shout out goes to Brawlinator. Brawlinator, you gave some real good recommendations. The first one was the Rod Serling Planet of the Apes Visionaries. First off, I want to say I love the clip that you did you know, on this book. That was great. And it was pretty awesome that you did it on the day that the movie was released. That was pretty awesome. So again, I'm going to be picking up that Rod Serling Planet of the Apes Visionary. Second, Brawlinator, thank you very much for recommending Super Sons Dynamut Special number 1. I'm going to be picking that up along with the Black Lightning Kong Kong Fui number 1. And lastly, Brawlinator, my last shout out goes to you because you recommended Alterna Comics. It came out on a Wednesday. You know, that sounds like it's going to be a fun anthology series. I've already got that ordered at Dragon's Lair. And the cool thing I like about these anthology stories, sometimes, you know, there may be a future comic book writer or artist that gets their break in these small little independent publishing companies. So that's pretty awesome. I hope everyone had a, you know, great free comic book day this past weekend. I look forward to hearing everyone's recommendations. Until next time, guys, aloha.
Hopefully everybody found something of interest in this month's previews. There's plenty of good stuff. Still getting used to, personally, the DC being in its own catalog and the new ordering of stuff, but plenty of interesting stuff. I've only done kind of my first initial pass at the previews, so there's still probably plenty of things that'll get added to my order. I've got a couple of things marked down as needing to investigate further before I make a decision. Right now, it's my order is surprisingly heavy on the Marvel side. That's almost 40% of my order. DC's only about 30%. So I think part of that's just a reflection of just how much Marvel's coming out with and how DC seems to be pulling back a little on the number of items they release. Or maybe a reflection that I just need to look a little bit more at previews because this is a little odd skew for me. I want to invite everyone to join us on the Comic Book Page teleconference. We'll be having that Saturday night, May 12th. It's a week after Free Comic Book Day. Hopefully everybody had fun at Free Comic Book Day. That's always a cool time for the industry. We do the teleconferences at 7 p.m. Central Time. We do them on Skype. There's instructions on the forum as to how to get in. Really, it's pretty easy. You need to have a Skype account. Those are free. You need to have like a headset or something so you can actually do a phone conversation on Skype. Most people have that. And then you just need to send me your contact information if you haven't already done that in the past. And then on Saturday, May 12th, the night of the call, you just text me in the chat window saying, hey, is the call started? I'd like in. If the call's going on, I will invite you in. It's better to send me a chat message than to call me because it's easier for me to invite you in to an existing call versus if I answer the call, I risk hanging up on the other people. Skype can get a little weird sometimes with a group call, but I deal with all that complexity for you, so don't worry about that. It's a fun time. It's a good time to have a conversation with various people, find out what they're reading, what they're enjoying, what they're watching on TV, that kind of stuff. I enjoy it every month. A lot of fun, like I said. We're doing it on May 12th. We always do it a week after the preview spotlight deadline. The next previews is going to come out on May 30th. That's the final Wednesday of the month. So we should be seeing the electronic version of the stuff, digital version, around the 23rd, and maybe even some advance solicits on like CBR, Newsarama, etc. as of the 16th. So you can already start picking out your picks. Those picks are going to be due on June 9th. That's bright and early that morning, or at least as bright and early as I get up and start working on the episode. Pretty much everybody did a great job this month on getting the stuff early. That was a huge help. This is another one of those months where the preview spotlight and the number crunching coincide into the same weekend for me, so it's a busy weekend. But these are fun episodes to do, and I was able to listen through most of the clips before this morning on Saturday, so I appreciate that. The following Comic Book Page teleconference will be on June 16th, once again at 7 p.m. Central Time, but again, you got the May 12th one before now and then, so, you know, don't gotta wait. I want to thank everyone who sent in clips, so thank you, Alan, Billy, Chris, Drew, Heidi, James, Jason, Martin, and Todd. This episode would have been a lot shorter without you guys, so thanks, and I always enjoy hearing what you guys have in terms of clips and stuff, because sometimes I add some stuff on my order based on that. So again, hopefully everybody found some stuff they were interested in the previews catalog this month. With that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.